Valentine's Day is tomorrow, a day when we make believe there are absolutely no flaws in our relationships. Except if you're Margot Howard. As she says, she is a rice-scarred veteran of four marriages, never the bridesmaid, always the bride, who's happy to tell you every mistake she's ever made, despite being the daughter of Ann Landers, perhaps the most famous advice columnist of them all, and the niece of her mother's twin sister, Dear Abby. Margot also became a noted columnist, the woman behind Dear Prudence at Slate, then Dear Margot, syndicated in 200 newspapers, perhaps because she'd learned so much the hard way. Take her first husband, please. When she told her father, who founded Budget Rental Car, and her mother about him, his chilly remoteness became Yankee reserve. His non-communicativeness morphed into he's a good listener. And his drinking, she didn't mention it because, of course, it would taper off. It did not. There would also be her third marriage to actor Ken Howard, a great love until it wasn't. She thinks she's on Mr. Right right now. Margot's book, A Memoir of Marriage, is called Eat, Drink, and Remarry, Confessions of a Serial Wife, and she joins us from Florida. Welcome.
Hi, dear.
So this is your memoir, but also the story, I'm guessing, of a lot of women of a certain age. You thought your job was to marry well.
That's true. This is a generational story that women were expected. I was programmed to get married. I just never thought I would do it four times.
And you say it was a message that you'd also received from your mother growing up. Now, your mother did not become Ann Landers until you were 15. She was an at-home mom. The message you received was to be a Jewish geisha.
That's true. And while she lived a feminist life, and she was very active in getting the Equal Rights Amendment passed, she was so busy being an old-fashioned wife in her head that on the inside of her furs was embroidered Jules' wife.
Mm. Well, so when you left Brandeis to marry, I think you were 20?
21.
21. The head of the school wrote a note to your parents saying what a lovely ornament you'd been.
Yes, and that was terrible because I had been fobbing myself off as a serious student. And here the president of the school, Abe Sacker, says she was the loveliest ornament we ever had.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it just goes to how the whole culture spoke of women in that way. You know, you were ornaments. You were people whose job it was to sink your talons into the best husband. Look, some of what you did sounds insane. Let's talk about this first marriage, which really corroded. You suspect your husband's having an affair with your girlfriend. The two couples go on vacation together and you put a knife under your pillow because you think, well, maybe they'll kill me. But then you hire detectives and actually travel to her home to try to entrap your husband there by posing as a Life magazine crew.
Yes. Well, in those days, you needed proof of adultery. And we went to Peterborough, New Hampshire. This is like a movie. I sort of took charge of everything, and you couldn't break in. You had to be allowed in, and the camera posed a really big problem. So I figured out, I said, well, look, we can't break in. We can't push our way in. We have to announce ourselves. So I said, we'll be a Life magazine crew. But all I said was, we've come to surprise Mrs. Langdon.
Well, you certainly did, and your first husband there as well. As you look back on this now, obviously you became an advice columnist. What did you learn from that really painful first marriage?
Oh, God, and I didn't learn all I needed to know from that marriage. I went on to make some more mistakes.
Well, I'm looking here. Husband number two, you write, it never occurred to you that he might not be so good with children. And at that point, you had several.
And my mistake there was I was looking for a designer husband. I wanted a dad for the kids. And that didn't work out. But with the starter husband, I did learn. My parents were wildly against it. They saw that he was a drinker. They saw things that I didn't see. And I learned from that when there's a Greek chorus in your life saying, don't do this, don't do this.
Well, you write that you often now advise young people, what's your hurry?
Exactly. And in the book, I speak very openly of the things I tried so that maybe I could keep the marriage together.
Well, and the lesson number, 48 or something, you learned you can't. You can't change someone.
It's true. My mother always said women are not reform schools. I didn't pay particular attention to that, but it's true. Anybody who's old enough to ask you to get married is not going to change any major aspect of his personality.
Look, marriage number one in particular, very, very tough. But you had three children in that marriage.
Yes.
Do you have any regrets about writing so frankly about the man who's actually their father?
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Go.
He actually liked it.
Really?
Can you imagine?
Okay.
Maybe he liked reading about the time when he was really filthy rich, which he is not anymore.
All right. Well, Margot Howard, let's move on to husband number three, actor Ken Howard. People know him as the White Shadow. You write, it's fair to say the great romance of your life, first time you were deeply in love. You also end up, after just years of what sounded like a wonderful marriage, having to once again confront what you say is his alcohol abuse.
Yes, we could never agree about that. It was the only serious problem we had, and it undid us.
What advice do you give people who feel that, you know, whose partner doesn't feel they have a problem, but they feel the partner has a problem?
Well, my mother was very fond of AA, by the way. She thought it was more effective for alcoholics than was psychiatry. And one of the AA principles is, if someone close to you thinks you have a drinking problem, you have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And the two children that I'm closest to wept after the Ken Howard chapter because it really was such a wonderful time for all of us. It was so loving and so great. And when you're in the top tier of television, which he was when we were together, it's like living in another world. I mean, it's sort of American royalty.
Well, but that relationship ends.
Yes.
And then enter the fabulous Ron Weintraub, a surgeon in the Boston area.
Yes.
What even made you open to taking another chance?
Well, it's not that I'd learned so much. I had integrated so much of what I'd learned. I was 57 years old. I was now looking for character, for integrity, and something else my mother used to say, does he wear well? And I must say, the doctor wears well. We're going on 18 years together now.
So it sounds, Margot Howard, as if you are finally listening to your mother.
Well, you know, you're right. I am so thrilled that before she died, she got to meet him. And I know she died happy. I mean, a heart surgeon from Harvard, this is every Jewish mother's dream.
You finally did what you... But I mean, you've been quoting her throughout our conversation. I mean, is her voice still in your ear?
You know, it's not just me. I tell all my friends and they agree, your mother always lives in your head.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting to have been an advice columnist and had four husbands. And I did want to pass on what I had learned. And because I'm honest, I really told it like it was. I didn't doll anything up. I didn't excuse myself. Somebody pointed this out to me. I didn't even figure it out. But this book, with the three divorces and the four husbands, actually has a happy ending.
Yeah. I feel Gloria Gaynor coming on.
Ah.
Margot, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Former advice columnist and author Margot Howard, her latest book is Eat, Drink, and Remarry, The Confessions of a Serial Wife.